right, stand with me if you would. Matthew chapter 5, let me just read these verses, verses 14, 15, and 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Obviously, this is written to Christians. I mean, those that have our God as our Father, we are the light. But the Bible says here in verse 16, we're to let it shine. Let it shine. Let's pray. Father, we do love you tonight. We thank you for Jesus. Help me, Lord God, as I preach. Bind Satan. Oh, remove all distractions, Lord, from my mind and my heart. Please, from all of our hearts, I pray. I pray, Lord God, our cell phones would be turned off. I pray, Lord God, our minds would be right here, not elsewhere, not wondering what we'll do tomorrow or remembering what we did yesterday. But God, we would not allow anything to distract us, Lord. We need to hear from heaven. I do pray for your help tonight, Lord. Please help us to focus on Jesus. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Again, I preached this morning. I began this message this morning, and I just want to kind of go briefly over a brief review. I know some of you were not here or otherwise in other ministries, but we do have Jesus here speaking to us as Christians that we are the light of the world. He is the true light. Amen. He's the source of our light. And I said this morning, we're the ones that send that light into the world. We're the ones to send forth that light. Jesus, God saved us through Jesus Christ. He gave us his eternal gift of salvation. He gave us by his grace that gift of eternal life that none could ever earn or be worthy of. But God gave us through Jesus Christ the payment for our sin. The atonement was made on the cross, amen, and Jesus rose again, proving in power and glory that he indeed was and is the Son of God, and through him we can have everlasting life, amen. And so that light, though, that light is the gospel light that needs to be shown forth into the world. That's what we're talking about with these scripture signs. It needs to be shown forth into the world. You and me need to be busy about being light. And it says here that our light will cause men to glorify God in heaven. Our light will cause men to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. In other words, the more light that we shine, the more God is going to get glory, the more glory for our God. It's important. Jesus does not say here that a man's light can go out. Right. Amen. It says, you are the light of the world. He does say, however, that your light could be hidden. And I'm afraid there's a lot of hidden lights, a lot of hidden lights, people who are saved, but yet nobody would even know they were saved. People that were saved, but yet nobody would even guess they're saved. Amen. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of people who are trying to do good things, and yet they're not saved. But there's a lot of people who are saved who don't care about anybody knowing that they're saved. And either way, that's not true light. That's not what the Lord is talking about. The Lord's talking about Christians, those of us who have God as our Father, and the only way that can happen is through the new birth, amen, being born again into the family of God through salvation by the grace of God. And then he says, okay, now that you have that light, you're the only light in this world. You're the only light there is. In other words, dearly beloved, those who do not have God as their Father don't have that light. They're not the light that's necessary. They're not what needs to happen. Light, amen, does not blend with darkness. Light does not blend in with darkness. It cannot blend in with darkness. It cannot even be in the same room. It's either light or it's dark. It's either completely dark or there's a little bit of light, but you can't have both, amen. It's either one or the other. So Jesus is speaking here, and he says here in verse 16, let your light so shine before men, so they may see your good works. In other words, our light is our good works. And I talked about that in great detail, great length this morning. Our light is the good things that we do by God's standard.
Amen.
By God's definition, the good works that we do. You understand, the world, in Isaiah, the Bible tells us, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil.
Yeah.
So the world believes that good is evil. The world believes that evil is good. You understand, the world thinks sin is entertainment.
Yeah.
They think sin is fun. You understand, they think evil is good. And so God's not talking about good as the world would define it.
Right.
As the world and its sinful desires. desires. God's talking about good works based on God's word, amen? And we talked about that this morning. God's good works start with the Holy Spirit. You must come to a place where you know that you're convicted of sin, you're converted to Christ, and then it's established on God's word. I said that everything that we do that's good has to be based on the Bible, or it's not good. Because if it comes from our flesh, you understand, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Yeah. And there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. The Bible says there is none, not one, outside of Jesus Christ and our flesh. We can't do anything good. We can't do anything good. I'm just reviewing this morning briefly. I'm going to get to the message here in a minute. So, but basically, it has to be done by the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit working in us. His working in us, working through us and outwardly to men to see, hey, I'm saved and I'm born again and I'm living my life according to this book. And God's word has changed my life. And so I'm doing what God says. I'm doing the good works that God has given me to do, and it separates me from darkness, I said. Light and darkness, as I said earlier, God saw that the light, that it was good. When he created the world, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And then he saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from. What's the first thing he did, church? He divided the light from the darkness. Yeah. It's impossible for the two to be together. You and me are light, he says, so we're not supposed to blend in. We're not supposed to hang out in the darkness, amen? And we're talking about letting our light so shine before men. Men is a reference to those who do not have the Father, and God is their Father. Men, in verse 16, is a reference to those who are not saved. Right. You understand? The world, and ye are the light of the world. The world is a reference to those who do not have Christ. The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved who? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, the world is perishing. Yep. Amen. The men in the world without God, without Christ, without hope, they're perishing. And you and me are the ones that have light. And we're supposed to let our light shine before them, in front of them, in front of the lost world. That's what Jesus is talking about. And I said this morning, amen, don't worry, God saw the light. God knows, amen, God knows when you and I are doing what's right. And they may not know. They may not care. They may not like it. It may not. But the fact of the matter is, God says that we're to let it shine.
That's right.
Let our light shine. Good works, then, according to Bible definition, can only be done by a saved man. A saved man. Okay? Because otherwise, I'm just flesh. That's all I am. I can't do anything good. It must be done in obedience to the Bible. Now, we're going to use our Bibles. Look in 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. If it's going to be a good work, if it's going to be something that's going to be light according to God's standard, it's going to have to be done in obedience, in accordance with the Bible. 1 John 2, verse 4. 1 John 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, speaking of God, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. So the Bible says, if I know the Lord Jesus Christ, I know God personally as my Savior, and I don't keep his commandments, I'm a liar. The truth is not in me. Understand something. I can be saved. Listen, I can be saved and not keep his commandments. All that does is it makes me a liar. It makes me, in other words, the truth is not shining forth, because the truth is the Word of God.
That's right.
You see, the Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them with thy truth, thy word is truth. And so if I'm living my life and not keeping his commandments, the truth is not in me. The truth is certainly not going to shine forth it from me, and I'm not going to be light. It has to be done in accordance to the word of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Look over there. 1 John 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. That's for anybody, dearly beloved. It doesn't just mean for saved or lost people. If I'm saved, I can still commit sin.
Right.
I commit sin by transgressing the law of God. I commit sin by not obeying the word of God. And so when I do that, I'm transgressing the law. I'm not shining forth any light. I'm becoming more darkness.
Right.
I'm heaping my life is becoming more of a problem than anything else to the world. All I'm doing is becoming a stumbling block. It can only be done then by a saved man. It can only be done in obedience to the Bible. Anything that I do that's going to glorify God or bring light into this world is going to have to be done according to the Bible. And it can only be done, listen now, This is the kicker. Now, I think probably that's already the kicker there, but it can only be done through a separated life. Right. Now, obviously, if I'm not living according to the Bible, my life is not separated. When I say separated, I don't mean just separated from everything. That's what a Pharisee is, folks.
Right.
You know what the Pharisees were the way they were? Because they were separated from everything without Christ.
That's right.
Yep.
Listen now. The Bible says that I'm to be separated from the world, but I'm not to be separated just out here on my own and looking down at everybody else saying, well, you know what? I'm better than you are. I'm separated. No, I'm to be separated from the world as I'm separated unto God.
Right.
You see? Then I'm not going to be a Pharisee. Then I'm going to have the compassion and the love and the goodness and the grace and mercy of Christ is going to influence me. I'm not just going to be out here on my own looking down at people like I'm some body. That's a Pharisee. If I'm going to be separate, I've got to be separate unto the gospel, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I separate from darkness unto the light, that's where God is. You see that? Look at 1 John. You're already there. Chapter 1, verse 5. This is all introduction. I'm just going through this real quick. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. Is light. In other words, folks, there's no light outside of God.
Yeah, amen.
Right? He is light. And he's the only one that can give us light. And the only light in me is him. Is him. And in him is no darkness at all. You can't have both.
That's right.
Okay? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not the truth. You can say you're fine all day long. You can say that you're living for God all day long. But if you're living in darkness, if you're walking in darkness, if you're walking as the rest of the world walks, and living your life as the rest of the world lives, listen, you're not walking in light. You're not walking in fellowship with God. You're certainly not going to shine any light because you're walking in darkness yourself. Amen? So you have to come out of that darkness. Even as a saved man, you can still go back. We talked about that this morning. We have to come out of that darkness. You can walk in darkness in the world. You can walk in the ways of the world. And you're certainly never going to be light in the dark world. They need light, folks. That means we're going to have to walk in the light.
Yep.
Anything else, listen, anything else is not good in God's eyes. If I'm not saved, if I'm saved but I'm not living according to the Bible, or if I'm not saved and I'm saved and I'm not separated from the world and walking with God and walking in light, none of the, if those things are not true, then I'm not light. It's not a good work according to God's standard. Okay? That's what I'm trying to say. Now, quickly, in our text there in Matthew chapter 5, go back there real quick. Matthew chapter 5 where we started. He says, "Ye are the light of the world." He says that a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I want to talk to you and look at two things here quickly tonight. This will be the message. I have a lot here, but I'm going to go through this quickly tonight. I know it's cold outside, and you know there's a busy week ahead of us. But I want to preach what God's given me. Amen. So I want to look at two things with you here tonight, really, and this will be the message. The reason that some lights shine brighter than others. I want to look at that, number one, and that's going to be a little bit lengthy. The reason why do some lights, some people, their lights shine more brightly than others. That's what we want to look at. And then number two, I want to look at the results. The results of our lights shining like they're supposed to. Okay? So quickly, here we go. Number one, the reasons that some people's lights shine more brightly than others. What makes a light shine brighter than somebody else's light according to the Word of God? You understand, right? That the light's the same. If you're saved, you're saved. Okay? If you're saved, you're saved. You don't get more saved or less saved, but you're saved, you're saved. And the light doesn't go out, but yet it doesn't shine. And the number one reason, amen, that people's lights shine brighter than others is because, number one, of the light's placement. The light's placement. Where is it located? The location of the light. Look in verse 14. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." The placement of the light is set on a hill. Look what that means in verse 15. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick." So the placement, the location, where is that light living? Amen. Where is that light placed? That light is on a hill, and that's just a reference or an illustration that is up above. It's up higher than everything else. Amen. And when a city is set up on a hill, you can see that that city from a far distance. And your city is set up on a hill, its lights cannot be hidden. If it's down in a valley, you know, you can look across and not see it, but when it's up on a hill, you see the light.
Right.
And then God says that that's an illustration for you and me of a candlestick. Now, Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, look over there with me real quick. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, we find out what that candlestick really is. What is that candlestick? Revelation 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. A candlestick, dear beloved, is a church. Understand, when God lights your light, and God gives you salvation, and God gives you His Holy Spirit, He makes you His child, and He becomes your Father. He then puts you up on a hill. His will for your life is to go up on a candlestick. What does that mean? To get involved and faithfully serving in the church.
Amen.
The placement of that light. That is why we have so many people who may be saved, but they are not involved in church at all. At best, they're unfaithful. Their light is not shining.
That's right.
Their light is not shining. When people see you going to church all the time, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every revival, every missions conference, every meeting, they're going to right off the bat, they're going to know, man, that's not a typical Christian.
Right.
Nowadays, unfortunately, it's more typical to just go Sunday mornings.
No.
Nowadays, it's more typical to just show up when you feel like it and not worry about any time. It's more typical, unfortunately, in this generation in which we live. But listen to me, God has lit our light. God has given us salvation, and He says, now I want to put you up on a candlestick. I want to put you up in my church. I want you to serve. Listen, when you be faithful to a church, even just coming to every service, you know, there's very few churches in Denton that even have church on Sunday night.
That's right.
There's very few churches in Denton or any other city in this country that even have church on Wednesday night. It's becoming less and less typical to even have church.
Yeah.
The mega churches, they have like two or three services in the morning, and that's all they have all week.
Yeah.
Now listen to me. If we want to go back to the book of Acts and look at the first church there in Jerusalem, we're going to find people who went to church every day. I think it would help us. I know it would help us. And sometimes I wish, Lord, I wish we didn't have to work for a living. I wish we didn't have to do things like that. I wish we could just be devoted to the house of God and serve the Lord. But understand something. I guarantee you those people didn't just have money growing on trees.
That's right.
Have you ever heard anybody say, well, that was a different time. That was a different generation. Well, they still had to make money.
Right.
Where'd their money come from? What they did is they worked in the fields all day. They went to church at night.
Yes, sir.
Or they went early in church in the morning, and they had a Bible study, a prayer meeting, and then they went to work. I mean, folks, listen to me. We're pathetic in America. But if we're going to shine the way we're supposed to, it starts off, it's always going to be placed, our light's going to be placed up on a candlestick, involved in church. Church becomes number one in a Christian's life when he says, I'm going to let my light shine.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
People are going to notice that. Your neighbors are going to notice that if nobody else. Hey, your family members are going to notice that. You know why? Because you're going to have to say, no, I can't. I've got church.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. So that's no, I'm not going to do that, preacher. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Why is that ridiculous? To say no to somebody else and say yes to God. We say no to God in a drop of a hat, in the snap of a finger, but yet we don't say no to our family for nothing.
Amen.
Listen to me. I'm just trying to help you understand. If our light's going to shine like it's supposed to, why do some people's lights shine brighter? It's very simple. Their placement. The light is placed on a candlestick, and they stay there. They even say no to their family if they have to because, hey, I've got something going on at church.
Yep. Amen.
Actively serving. Actively serving in your church, serving in through your church, working in Sunday school, bus routes, soul winning, tithing, ushering, sound booth, nursery. I mean, it's serving in the church. I don't do that because I'm ate up. I don't do that because I'm some kind of fanatic. I do that because it's what God wants for me. It's God's will. He gave me that light, and He says, now I want you up on a candlestick.
Yeah.
I want you to open that. God lights our light and he puts us in church. I mean, at 12 years old, Jesus Christ was in his Father's house and he said, "Wish you not that I must be about my Father's business?" At 12 years old, in his Father's house, busy shining his light. Amen.
Amen.
The placement of the light. The reasons that some people's light shines, the placement, it's set on a hill. But there's a lot of other reasons that people's lights don't shine. Amen. The second placement here in verse 15 is under a bushel. Okay, we need to be set on a hill and never be put under a bushel. Let me give you an understanding what a bushel is. It's a basket that held things. It's just a basket or a little bucket that holds things. You know, you may have a bushel of oranges or a bushel of peaches or pears. It's just a bushel. It's just a basket that held things that you had bought, that you had earned or grown, something that you own and possess. You went to the market and you came home with a bushel full of, I don't know, food, groceries. But the point of this, how could that hide my life? I want you to understand, it's a reference to our money and material things.
Right.
Our money and the material things. You see, it's things that we own, things that we possess. See, money buys things. Money brings, we bring those things home and we fill up our bushels.
Come on.
Our garages.
Yep.
Our sheds.
Yeah.
Our shelves. Our floor.
Yep.
Our cars. And listen, and that becomes a God to people.
That's right.
We get so greedy and covetous, and we've got to have more, and we've got to get more, and so I've got to work on Sundays. I've got to give myself to my job. I've got to work when there's church. And you see, and my light just goes right under a bushel.
Yep.
Money and material things. Not spending our money wisely. Instead of giving God what's His, instead of honoring God with the first fruits of all of our increase, amen, we've got to buy that somebody else has. We've got to have that somebody else has. I've got to keep up with the Joneses. And our light just goes right under the bushel.
Great.
Are you listening to me tonight? God has given us what we need. And he says, now, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Our job is to have what he's given us and be faithful stewards. Manage that money properly. Not allow that money to take over our lives.
Amen.
Money ought to serve me, not me serve money.
That's good.
Amen?
That's right.
But see, when I put it under a bushel, when I start living for money and things, stuff, I've got to have this new and that new. You understand? I just dawned on me the other day. My newest car is 2003. I mean, that's 16 years old.
Yeah.
It's almost got 200,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
And it squeaks everywhere you go.
Yeah.
It squeaks every time it hits a bump. Squeak, 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 squeak. And my wife says, "Honey, are you ever going to fix that squeaking noise?" I said, "Probably, but squeak is no big deal. When something falls off, I'll fix it." But see, we have an old, we drove an old minivan for 150 years, I think. It has a second engine and transmission in it already, and it will be on the road tomorrow. And it's a 2001 model. That's 18 years old. Our Suburban is only 2003. When we got that thing, we thought, wow, we're moving up in the world. And I realized the other day, it's only 2 years newer. It's only 2 years newer. But you know what? I love it. I'm not worried about having a new car. You know, I've been living in a house that was built in 1960s or something. And long, I don't even own a house, y'all. Don't feel sorry for me. I don't own a house. I own a car and two cars that are older than dirt. I don't own a house. I'm paying rent. Somebody else's, but because I don't want to get bound to that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to get tied down to that stuff. My life is given to the Lord. My life is given to serve the Lord. Listen, I mean, if I told you some of the things that need to be done in my house, you'd probably kick me out of the church. But you say, well, but it's nothing major, but I'm saying there's things that you probably wouldn't even live with. You would go crazy trying to fix. But understand something, God will provide when it's time.
Yeah.
And we have a comfortable house, and we have a roof over our head, and we're going to have a pillow to sleep on, and have a bed to lie down in. We have food in the kitchen. Listen, I'm not going to live for that money. God will provide.
Amen.
I'm going to make sure that God comes first, and I'm not going to let that kind of stuff cover up my light, put a bushel over my light.
Yeah.
But it does so many people. If I didn't tithe and give to missions, I could have a new car. Hello. If I didn't tithe and give to missions, I could buy a house.
Come on.
But folks, why would I want to do that?
Amen.
That's correct. You know, Brother Ray, our missionary to Israel, he always comes down and drops off. He picks me up and I take him to the airport. I drop him off at the airport and drive his truck back to my house and park it at my house while he's gone. And then I go back to the airport and pick him up. And we've been doing that now for good night, long time, 7 or 8 years. And he has an excursion, a Ford excursion. They don't even make those anymore. I don't know what model it is, but that thing has nearly 500,000 miles on it.
Wow.
It sat in my driveway for a week, 8 days, 9 days, and there was a puddle of oil this big underneath it after I went to pick him up. He knows it's there. I mean, that's his problem. That's his baby. But the thing is, we were talking about it. He said, if I didn't give the missions and serve the Lord and die, then I could get a new car. But that thing's still running. You want to talk about squeaks. That the seat, when you sit in that, it leans like you're going to fall out the door. I mean, because the seat is completely worn out. Folks, but it's not to feel sorry for people, but we cannot let our desire and our lust for things to cover up our light, to where we won't come soul winning, we won't come to church, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
It covers up the light.
Damn, yeah.
It used to be little ladies, little old widow ladies, and they would make out their will, and they would leave all of their belongings to the church. Everything that they owned, it would go to the church for church finances. The estate, everything goes to the pastor, not to the pastor personally, but to the church. And listen, you don't hear that anymore. I guarantee you her family's not happy when they find out about that. And see, some of you are thinking, that's crazy, that's ridiculous. Why is that ridiculous?
Yeah,
huh? Why is that ridiculous? She said, well, she didn't have anybody else. Maybe she didn't have anybody else. But I understand something. She wanted God to have what she wanted God to be honored with what she had. She was not living for stuff.
Right.
Amen. Y'all can get quiet. That's okay. But I'm telling you, a bushel covered. The first thing he mentions is a bushel.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first thing he mentions is a bushel. I want you to look with me in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. The next thing that we're going to look at here that covers up the light's placement, it's got to be set on a hill, not under a bushel. Number two, not under a vessel. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. We'll look at this for a minute now. This might take a few more minutes, but verse 16, Luke chapter 8. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel. We're going to stop there for a minute. A vessel. You say, preacher, what is a vessel? Okay, a vessel is your body.
Yep.
Your body is a vessel. Okay? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be back and forth now. I said we're going to use our Bibles, so stay with me. Everybody okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I know we're few in number tonight, but amen. Let's pay attention. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. A vessel. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Look, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Folks, it's not an option.
Right.
He commanded that light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. That's the only hope we have, is God's light in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God says, listen, look at that next verse though. But we have this treasure. What's that treasure? The light.
Uh-huh.
In what? Earthen vessels. That's our body. Earth is dirt. This body is dirt. We have that treasure, that light, that we have that glorious salvation, that gospel light of Christ, who is the image of God. We have, and God says, now let it shine. But our vessels cover it up.
Yeah.
Amen. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to use this here for a minute. Just stay with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Our vessels cover it up. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, his body, notice, in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, that's immorality, that's carnal desires, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Listen, folks, we are living in a world today of people who do not know God, and their bodies are, they possess their bodies in filth. Yeah. They possess their bodies in absolute immorality and total corruption and defilement. Their bodies are, and God says, I have not given you that. I've given you that light. It's in that earthen vessel. That's your body. You are to possess your body, your vessel, in sanctification. That's purity.
Yeah.
And honor.
Yep.
Honor. Listen, you ought to understand that body that God's given you is a body that only that you have by God's grace, that now is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to go over to 1 Corinthians where it tells us in 1 chapter 6 that we are bought with a price and we are to glorify God.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's letting God, we're to glorify God in our body and our spirits, which are God. Now understand something, we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, but we're to glorify God in our bodies as well. We're to possess our vessel in sanctification, in purity, and honor. We're to honor, our body is to bring honor to God.
That's right.
That's why we don't cover ourselves with tattoos. That's why we don't cover ourselves with piercings. That's why we don't wear ungodly, wicked t-shirts that talk about all kinds of filthy,
sir,
sinful lifestyles and promote alcohol and rock and roll and all of that garbage.
Amen.
Listen, why? Because that's your body. And then people see that, and when they see that, that their minds are not drawn to God. Their minds are drawn to sin.
Yeah,
and we are to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. You know what I'm saying? When I see a lady walking in Walmart or down the sidewalk in the middle of the Tuesday afternoon, and she's got a skirt and modest clothes on, I don't say, wow, that must be a prostitute. That's the last thing on my mind. Why? Because she's decently and modestly dressed.
Right.
Sure.
Usually I say, well, I wonder what church she goes to.
Amen.
Instantly, that's what I wonder if she's Pentecostal or Baptist. Might be Jehovah's Witness. But that's about it. There's no other people, there's no other preachers, there's no other churches that preach that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Your body is a vessel of the Holy Spirit. You are to possess your body, ladies, in sanctification and honor. All of us as well, men. Amen. Listen, we have a body that God's given us, and it's not to bring glory to ourselves or to sin or the world. It's to bring glory and honor to God. But many people's vessels cover up their life.
Yeah.
Their body. Well, they may be as saved as anybody else, but this goes all the way back again to we cannot live in darkness and expect to shine as light.
Yeah.
We have got to come out of the darkness into the light and shine forth. We have to be separated in our bodies, in the way we dress, in the way we wear our hair. Amen. It's a shame. It's a shame to see men. It's a shame to have long hair, folks. That's what the Bible says for a man. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. Even nature teaches us that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says even nature, it's natural. Even just, you don't have to give that any thought. It's natural to know. I know it's not supposed to have long hair. That's part of our vessel. That's part of our body. That's the way God wants it. Amen. When we're not to mark up our bodies. We're not to bear our bodies in flesh and skin and let people look. It's an ungodly, immoral. It's not sanctity. It's not honor.
Right.
Look in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Boy, you talk about lights being covered up. Man, this is one right here for sure. This vessel. So many people possess their vessel in ungodly dishonor and disgrace. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver. Those are people, okay, just a reference. But also of wood and earth. Some to honor. and some to dishonor. Listen, in the same house. Now understand something. I believe this is talking about the house of God. Amen? Because the verse above it, verse 19 says, everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It's talking about Christians. In the same house, in the same church. Some to honor, some to dishonor. But what is he talking about? Their vessel. Their vessel, their body.
Yes, sir.
Their body. In the same church. And the Bible says here, it says, if a man, in verse 21, therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. I can't mingle with those who don't understand what I'm preaching. I don't need to worry about what those people are thinking or doing. I need to possess my vessel in honor. Look what it says in verse 21 now. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, there it is. But look, meet for the master's use. Who's the master? Our Lord and our Savior. Through the master's use, it says here, and prepared unto every good work. Dearly beloved, God cannot use people who will not possess their vessel in honor and sanctity.
Yep. Right.
You and I understand, that's why this pastor in this church, we have standards.
Yes,
we have rules for people who are going to serve in different areas.
Amen, brother.
Because it's right there in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
God is dishonored and disgraced, and our vessels is just a simple appearance of our body.
That's right.
I say I'm a Christian, but I look like a hobo. I say I'm a Christian, but I stand up here and preach in shorts and t-shirts.
Come on.
Are you kidding me? But see, today we have this idea that it's just comfort and casual. That's all that matters. No. That's not what God says. If I'm going to shine as lights in this world among the crooked and perverse nation, amen, I'm going to have to shine. I'm going to have to be different. I'm going to have to honor God. Remember I said, the only way I'm going to be saved and I'm going to be established in His Word.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm going to honor God's word. I'm going to live by His. Listen, I'm not doing this to try to please and honor anybody else.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing what I do, and I believe that God is teaching us right here in 2 Timothy that He wants to use us, but there's so few people that He can use anymore. Because they won't possess their vessel in honor. I want to show you something. Look in 2 Kings. Y'all with me still?
Amen.
I'm trying to hurry. I got a lot, but God gave me a lot, and I don't want to cut you short. But 2 Kings. I'm sorry. 2 Kings 1. This is great. This is a great story. 2 Kings 1, verse 1. 2 Kings 1, verse 1. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Now, listen, Ahaziah was a king in Samaria. He was a king in the northern kingdom of Israel. And he's going to inquire of Baal when he got sick. He's praying to the god of Baal. And the angel of the Lord, in verse 3, said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel? Ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. God said, Elijah, you're my preacher. Listen, he said, Elijah, you're my preacher. I want you to go down there and I want you to tell that man, that king, by the way. I want you to intercept his messengers. They're going after the god of Beelzebub. I want you to intercept them, and I want you to tell, hey, there's no need to go down any further. There's a god in heaven. He said, your king's going to die.
Yep.
The preacher departed to do exactly what he was told. Dearly beloved, that's my heart's desire. That's my will. That's God's will for me and for any preacher of the gospel. Amen. For God's people in general is to just depart from where we're at when God tells us to go and do whatever He says do.
Amen, brother.
Look what it says though now in verse 5. When the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? They came back to the king too fast. He said, why'd you come back? And they said to him, there came a man up to meet us. A man. Amen. And said unto us, go turn again to the king and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, it's not because there's not a God in Israel, thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron. Therefore thou shalt come down from that bed on which thou art not gone up, but shalt surely die. When they gambled, they did not forget the message. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that God did not allow one of Elijah's words to fall to the ground.
Amen.
Listen, but I want you to see, so I'm getting somewhere here. Verse 7, the king said, he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And that king didn't even hesitate. He said, it's Elijah. Now, how did he know it was Elijah? He didn't know it was Elijah by what the message was. He knew it was Elijah by the physical description.
Right.
What do you mean, preacher? I mean his outward appearance was always the same.
Amen.
He didn't change when he went to Walmart.
Uh-huh.
He didn't change when he went to the grocery store, when he went to the park. He always looked like Elijah the Tishbite. And as soon as he said, what did he look like? He knew it was Elijah.
Yes.
Folks, this thing of appearance, we're to abstain from all appearance. Our vessels, our bodies are to be consistently dressed and honored and desired and designed to honor God. When that king heard that message, he should have known by the message. But he didn't know by the message. He knew by the description.
Uh-huh.
You see, Elijah was dressed a certain way, and that's the way he always dressed. That's the way he always looked. I'm simply saying to you, listen to me, when he was in public, when we're in public, we should look the same all the time. We should not have a dressed down day, amen? When you're at home in private, I'm not talking about that. But when you're out among the people, let your light so shine where? Before men. So when you're out before men, when you're out in public, you ought to look consistently like a God-honoring Christian, men and women.
Amen.
Your vessel. Your vessel is, many people's vessels are hiding their light. If they're saved, their vessels are definitely dimming, hiding their light drastically. Are you listening to me? I told you the story about years ago when we were up in Sanger and I met the Bolivar Baptist Church. It's a Southern Baptist church, but I met some guys out on the street soul winning, and they had earrings and tattoos, and they were dressed. They just looked like anybody else, and they were smoking cigarettes. And I found out, the very guy who was smoking a cigarette told me that he was the youth pastor at Bolivar Baptist Church.
Oh.
Folks, that's what I'm talking about. Now, I don't know if he goes into his youth room while he's teaching Sunday school and smokes a cigarette or not, Brother Max, but I doubt that. I hope. I don't know for sure anymore. But yet, you know, it ought not just be something we do at church, is what I'm trying to say. It ought to be something that's consistently everywhere we go, whether I'm in church, I'm in public, I'm out before men, I should possess my vessel in honor and sanctity. It's important. It makes a big difference. The reasons people's lights are shining aren't shining is because they're covered under a bushel, they're covered under a vessel, and they're also covered under a bed. Now look back in Luke. Hurry in here. Luke chapter 8. We're back where we were. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. He said again, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or, here we go, here's another location, or putteth it under a bed. The placement of this light is what we're talking about still. We're still under the placement. The light's placement should be up on a candlestick, not under a bushel, not under a vessel, and here number three, not under a bed. Okay, what's this talking about, preacher? This is talking about a lazy man. This is talking about a lazy man. Okay? I'm going to read some scripture to you if you can get there. Proverbs 22, verse 13. Okay? If you want to turn over with me, I'll get there. As soon as I get there, I'll read it. Proverbs 22, verse 13 says, the slothful man saith, there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. You know what? There is a lion without.
That's right.
His name is Lucifer.
Right.
He is our adversary, the lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There is a lion out there, absolutely. But the slothful man saith, there's a lion out there, I shall be slain in the streets. What's he saying? Hey, that's just an excuse.
Right.
He's just slothful. Yes, there's a lion, but there's a lion for the hard worker too.
Yeah.
There's a line for the diligent too. There's a line for the hardworking, God-fearing one who's going to go do what God's called him to do. He's lazy. He's too lazy to do the will of God.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. He's too lazy to do the will of God. It's too hard to do the will of God, so I'm going to be lazy and lay in bed because there's a lion out there. Well, I know there's a lion out there for everybody.
Oh, great.
That's right, brother.
But this person's just lazy. Look in Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, verse 13. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion's in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. He says, you know what, there's too much trouble. It's too hard out there. It's too dangerous out there. I'm just going to turn over and take another 30 minutes. His light is not shining because he's flat out lazy. And he's not in God's will because it's too hard. Folks, this thing, listen, I know that, again, I want you guys to pay attention. I'm trying to go through this in a hurry. I don't want to overload you with information. But this thing of shining our light before men is not easy.
That's right.
There is a battle involved. And the lion is the main enemy. But the slothful man says it's too hard. The slothful man says, you know what? Nobody's getting saved. The slothful man says it's not making a difference. Are you listening to me? The slothful man says, you know what? I just don't think I'll go to church tonight. And guess where that light is? You can't see it. What light? Well, he's too busy in bed. He's turning over like a door on the hinges in his bed. Turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 11. And boy, there's a lot of reasons. You're starting to see, when God gave me this message, no wonder there's no light in this world. Amen. No wonder there's no light. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. It came to pass, after the year was expired, and notice, at the time when kings go forth to battle, it's time for kings to go forth to battle. David was the king. David sent Joab, who was not the king, and he was just the captain of David's host, and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David, the king, who was supposed to go to battle, still at Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Where was he at Jerusalem? Verse 2. It came to pass in an evening time, David arose from where? Off his bed. My soul. You're supposed to be out on the battlefield with the rest of your men. You're supposed to be out there with your army, your general, your soldiers, and you're in bed. In the evening time, it means it's not, he's just lounging. Look what it says here. And you know the story. He got off his bed in the evening time, walked upon the roof of the king's house. From the roof he saw a woman washing herself. Well, of course, when you lie around and don't do the will of God, of course there's going to be a woman washing herself for you to look at. Are you listening to me? There's going to be temptation there that's going to destroy you because you're not where you're supposed to be because you're in bed.
Yeah, preaching.
Washing herself, the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David sent and inquired after the woman. One said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah? His servants were saying, David, stop. The Holy Spirit was saying, David, stop.
Great.
That's a married woman. Not only is she married, she's married to one of your mighty men that are out there on the battlefield right now. And you're talking, what? David, stop.
Right.
But he's out of the will of God. He's lounging around in bed. His flesh is totally controlling his life. He sent messengers and took her. She came into him and he lay with her. And you know the rest of the story. There was adultery right there. He had her husband killed. A child died. David, the sword never left David's house. Why? Because he wouldn't get out of bed when it was time to do something for God. Folks, listen to me. I no wonder, right? No wonder there's no light in this world. We have a lazy generation, slothful. Well, it's just too hard. The devil's going to kill me. Listen, I'm telling you, when we let our light get covered up by the bushel, we let our light get covered by this vessel, we let our light get covered up by the bed, understand something, it's not going to shine. And there's a reason that some people's lights shine greater and farther than others. Now look with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I'm drawing down to the end. But don't get excited. I've got a few more things here. Luke chapter 11. Verse 33. I want you to please pay attention to this. Please don't get distracted by what's not happening or what is. And please pay attention to God. Luke 11 verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place. Oh, there's another one. Look how God keeps on saying these different things. So now we have a secret place. The placement, the location of this light is what we're talking about. It's got to be on a candlestick. It's got to be up on a candlestick in the church of God. It's got to not be under a bushel. It's got to not be under a vessel, not under a bed, not in a secret place. Yep. Now, quickly, this secret place could be, and very likely is many times, fear. Fear. I'm just afraid, Lord. I'm just afraid of what they're going to say. I'm just afraid I'm not going to know what to say. I'm just afraid I'm not going to know how to handle it. I'm just afraid I'm going to fail. No, no, that's reality. But you understand, God hath not given us that spirit of fear. It doesn't come from God. God says, you are more than conquerors. God says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God said, perfect love casteth out that fear.
Amen.
In other words, fear is of the devil. Fear is of the flesh. Fear is the number one reason people don't have faith.
That's right.
Fear is the number one enemy. Mark it down, never forget it. If you don't know it already, memorize it. Fear is the number one enemy of faith. Because when God tells you to do something, and it's gonna require faith, it's not something that you can do on your own.
Right.
Otherwise, it's not faith. Are you listening to me?
Right.
It's not faith if you don't need God.
Yeah.
Fear. Jesus even had secret disciples. I understand something. Their light was not shining.
That's right.
But also, I believe there's another application here. Not just fear, but here's the second one I think applies to us also. No feet to my prayers. What? No feet to my prayers. In other words, Matthew chapter 6, don't turn over for sake of time. Jesus said, when you pray, enter into thy closet.
Yeah.
Right? And the Lord, the Father, which is in secret, he seeth and heareth you in secret, rewards you openly. So Psalm 91 verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a secret place of prayer. Okay? But God says, don't let your light get hidden in that secret place. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, in other words, don't just pray about things and never do anything about it.
Yeah.
No feet. We've got to learn to put feet to our prayers. Now, for example, you pray for strength. You pray for strength to do God's will, but you don't do God's will. In other words, you don't go, okay, I prayed for strength. I prayed for God to give me his strength. Okay, now I'm going to leave this secret place of prayer and I'm going to go do what God's told me to do.
Yeah.
In his strength.
Amen.
But you understand what I mean? Putting feet to my prayers. Doing what I'm praying about. Another example. Okay, God, I pray for souls to be saved in my city. Okay. Get out of your prayer closet then and go preach.
Amen.
You've got to put feet to your prayer. You can't just leave your light in the secret place of prayer and say, okay, Lord, I prayed for people to get saved. Now what's on TV? Amen. Amen. We've got to put feet to our prayers. God says to ask. Yes, ask and you shall receive. But he says, wait a minute, that's not all he says. Seek. Seek and you shall find. Knock. And it shall be opened unto you. You know what? That's soul winning in my book, amen. I'm asking for God to give me prayer, souls for his glory. Then I'm going to go seek and I'm going to go knock. Hello, this is Pastor Falk from Amazing Grace Baptist Church, amen. Anybody want to get saved?
Amen.
Well, I mean, you can go pray for people to get saved. Have you ever heard children pray? Lord, save the whole world, Lord. Save the world. Save all the people in Africa. Save all the people save the world, Lord. That's a child.
Amen.
But they don't ever do anything about it. But yeah, we got adults praying like that. Oh, save my parents. Save my friends. Save my neighbors. Preacher, will you go talk to them?
Yeah, come on. Preacher, brother. That's right.
Where's your feet?
Come on. Amen.
Of course I will, and I do, and I have, and I'll keep on. But they know you better. You prayed about it. They're burning on your heart. You know them. Go put feet to your prayer.
Amen.
How about this? Lord, give me wisdom today. Help me make right decisions. But then I don't go to the book of wisdom.
Yeah.
I don't search the scriptures. I don't study the Bible. I don't read the Bible at all. Lord, give me wisdom today. But I don't ever look for wisdom in His book. The book of wisdom.
Amen.
The book of Proverbs. The book of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. You see, that's why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does that mean? That means, listen, if I understand God and take Him seriously and I need wisdom, well, I'm going to go to the book that He's given me. I'm not going to be a hypocrite, a Pharisee, and pray for wisdom and not look for it in God's Word. We don't put feet to our prayers. Our light gets hidden in the secret place. Amen. Are you listening to me? There's a lot of good reasons. There's a lot. I don't know where you found yourself tonight, but I think we're all there, here, and there, everywhere. There's a lot of Christians today. It's no wonder lights aren't shining. It's no wonder. There's a light's placement. But finally, the second reason that the light's not shining as much is the light's person. I want you to understand, don't turn back there. Look to John chapter 1, though. Jesus said, let your light so shine.
Right.
What's that mean? That means it's a decision. You see, the light is there for all. If you're saved, you're saved. Say amen if you're saved.
Amen.
If you're saved, that light's in you. God lit that candle, amen. He lightened your darkness. He gave you light. If you're saved, it's in there. But you've got to let it shine. That's you. That's your personal decision. The light's placement's got to be right, but it's your decision where your light is placed. John chapter 1, verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Yeah.
Our light is our life. What do you mean, preacher? That means, listen, my light just shines automatically if I live my life for the Lord.
Amen.
I don't even have to try to make it shine. I just let it shine.
Amen.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
Amen.
I don't have to try to make it shine. I just live my life for Jesus.
Amen.
You see, look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 24. Verse 21 first. Galatians 1, 21. Afterwards, I'll give you a minute. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. What was Paul doing there? Listen now. All he was doing was preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
All he was doing was living his life, preaching the gospel, doing what God told him to do. Look what the last verse says. They glorified God. What? In me. Wow. People all over the world are still glorifying God in Paul.
Amen.
Right.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Yeah.
And what did he do? Was he some kind of superhero? Did he wear a cape?
Amen.
No, he didn't wear a cape. He just, what did he say? All I used to persecute, I was lost, but now I'm saved. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was in darkness, but now I'm in light. I was persecuting, now I'm preaching. Glory to God. That's all he did. He preached. And the Bible says they glorified God in him. See, the person, that vessel that is the body, but the person's the decision that you make, I'm going to glorify God. We don't have to think about it. We just live our lives according to God's book, God's will, God's work for us. The reasons lights aren't shining are many, as I showed you. The placement, the bushel, look, it's got to be in church. I mean, and all, by the way, did you notice all these other things I talked about? Okay, God, don't you love it? People pray for wisdom. And then they pray for wisdom. God, give me wisdom. And then they don't come to church.
Yeah.
The very message that had the answer to their prayer, they weren't here.
Yeah.
Right. Folks, that's ridiculous. That people are wasting their lives. The candlestick, the church, is where the light has to be put. The location, the placement. It has to be on a candlestick. And you cannot let bushels, amen, money, material stuff. You cannot let your vessel, your body cover it up. You cannot let your laziness and your bed. You cannot let the secret place praying for God to do something, but yet you won't even take a step to go to church.
No.
Yep. Wow.
It's ridiculous. The person is the greater problem is the person himself, is because they're just not living, they won't live the life.
Yeah.
And lastly, I told you the results. What are the results according to Matthew 5? You can turn there if you want to, but Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And here's the results. Glorify your Father.
Yes, sir.
In heaven. See, the results of my light shining brighter is more glory for God. Understand something. God is glorified. Let me explain something to you here. I think this morning I pointed this out, but it does not say the world worships God.
That's right.
It doesn't say they're going to start serving God.
Right.
It doesn't say they're going to start praising God. No, 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 no. You're misunderstanding the point. It does not say even that they get saved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They might, but that's not what it means to glorify God.
Right.
What does it mean then, preacher? When my life causes men to glorify God, listen now, it simply makes them think about God.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. What do you mean? It puts their mind... See, to glorify, listen, means to magnify. You know what a magnifying glass is?
Yeah.
I put a magnifying glass on my paper and the words get bigger.
Yes.
No, they don't.
No.
They just look bigger.
Right.
I tricked you. I put a magnifying glass on my paper. The words look bigger. And as I pull it away, what happens? Those words get bigger and bigger and bigger. They're so big I can't even read them. Now, what, are they bigger?
No.
They just look bigger. Yeah. To glorify God, I mean, listen, to magnify Him. Listen, God is in every one of us. Lost, the Bible says He's in their conscience.
Yeah.
He created them that way. Their conscience is proof that He exists. He's in there. Not salvation, not the Holy Spirit, but that conscience. He's in there. Every single person that has an innate knowledge of a God, they know it. God created us. But they don't think about God. They don't give God a second thought for days, weeks, months, years. But along comes a Christian who's living his life for God.
Amen.
Who's possessing his vessel in sanctification. Who's preaching the gospel, doing what God tells him to do. Who's honoring God. Who's not living for money. Who's not living for fame and fun and fortune. Who's not living for pleasure. And not living for himself. He's not lazy. He's not hiding in a secret place. He's living for God.
Yeah.
Now, that old cantankerous, crotchety, grumpy, lost man who hasn't thought about God in 40 years sees you and you tell him you're a Christian.
Amen.
I'm from Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I want to give you a gospel tract. I want you to know that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that He's the only way you could ever be born again. There's no way you could ever get to heaven outside of the grace of God giving you life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
Listen, that old man hadn't thought about that in years, and all of a sudden you show up living your life for God.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean he's going to fall on his face and praise God and serve God and then get saved. No, but he's going to think.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Amen.
He's going to think. There is really... You know what he's going to say? Have you anybody... Are there still churches doing that?
Yeah.
Isn't that ridiculous? That's pathetic. We live in America, the most evangelized country in the world, but we've got Americans now, adults, who say, are there still Baptist churches knocking people's doors?
Come on. No.
You know why? Because nobody's light's shining. But when our light shines, listen, it doesn't have to be knocking doors either. It might be at work.
Yeah.
Right.
It might be your family members.
Yeah.
See, it doesn't mean that they're going to get saved, but it makes them think about God. It puts God back in their godless minds. It magnifies God. It makes God bigger than He was a minute ago before you showed up. They're forced to think about God.
Right. Amen.
Praise God. That's what God wants. He wants the world to be thinking and aware that He's still alive. I mean, dear God, if you went to some churches today, you would think it's a funeral. Where's God? He's not anywhere around. Because why? Because nobody's even considering Him. But He is alive forevermore. He was crucified. He was buried. And He rose again, never to die. And He's going to live forever. He's coming back one day. But until that day, you and me are the light. And we got to let it shine.
Yeah.
They're going to glorify God. Oh, it doesn't mean they're going to get saved. It doesn't mean you're going to be popular. It just means they're going to think about God probably maybe for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
See, God's glorified when the world sees that salvation really does change a person. Right? Today you've got people who say, I'm saved. They say, really? What changed since then? What do you mean, what changed? See, God is glorified when the world sees that salvation has changed me. My faith has wrought works in my life, and my works are proof that I have faith. That's what James chapter 2 talks about. God is glorified when the world sees I'm not just talking, but I'm walking also. God is glorified when the world sees, hey, I'm sincere about my Savior. I'm serious about this. I don't blend in with everybody else. I'm not just another mouthpiece. Amen. I'm living for God. He's alive in my heart.
Amen.
I had a young lady come up to me last time we were out there on the UNT campus, and she walked right up that hill. Brother Evan, you know, up there, we were up on the grass hill that day, and she, you might have seen her, she walked right up that hill and got in my face. She said, what makes you think that your God is better than anybody else's God? No, here's what she said. What makes you think that your God is real? I said, He's alive in my heart.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
He died for me. He gave me life. He forgave my sins. He's given me everlasting salvation. I'm free from the bondage. I'm free to serve Him. I preach Him because He told me to. I preach Him because the world needs to be saved. And she said, oh, okay. I thought she was going to come out with something, you know. She said, oh, okay. Well, I thought maybe you were like somebody else or something. But anyway, the point of the matter was she confronted me, and all I said was, He's alive in my heart, and this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be shining His light.
Amen.
She wasn't real interested in thinking about God right then. She was trying to attack me. But when my light shone, she said, oh, okay, good. her mind was turned from attacking me to, hey, there is a real God.
Amen.
See, God is glorified when they see I'm sincere.
Yeah.
When the world sees, hey, God is real, and His power really does change a person.
Amen.
Think about that. God is magnified. The Scripture doesn't say the world's going to get saved by my light. Listen to me. That's why we got to preach the gospel. But it does say my light is going to make them know that salvation is a reality.
Right.
And it's very possible for them too. See, the light that it's lit by God in me, it never goes out. But boy, oh boy, there's a lot of ways to hide it.
Yeah.
We've got to let our light shine.
That's right, brother.
Let's pray. Father, Lord, that's the message tonight. Lord, I know it was a little long. Lord, I pray You'd bless it in spite of the length. I pray that You'd use it in our hearts, Lord. Lord, how we need to let our light shine.